Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to talk with you, to listen to you. What do you have to tell me? We learn so much from you, and today we pray about that most important virtue, which is love. Love for you in the first place, but today especially, love for our neighbor. And if we open the Gospel of St. John to the 13th chapter, we find you saying to us personally, as well as to the apostles there in the Last Supper, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And Lord, we might say, but this isn't a new commandment. The Old Testament is full of exhortations to love our neighbor. And that is true. What is new about the commandment is the measure of our love. Because you say, even as I have loved you, that you love one another, as you have loved us. And we can meditate today on a number of aspects of your love for us, because we learn so much. We learn how to love. And we can go back just a few lines in that 13th chapter where you washed the feet of the apostles. And when you have finished, you tell them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you." Lord, you are the Lord, you are God, and the teacher, the master, and you do that work of the servant. The Lord serves the servant. And then you invite us to do that. As I have given you an example, you also should do as I have done to you. And Lord, we are always reluctant to serve. We will do what we need to do, but we don't want to serve others. And there's so many opportunities to do this. First at home, when we see someone in need, it could be our spouse, it could be one of our children. We don't wait to be asked. We ask them, "Could I give you a hand?" Maybe one of our children is doing their homework, and we ask, "Do you need any help?" Maybe they come to us for help with their homework, and we say, "Sure, what is it?" And even though we were busy, or we were simply watching television, relaxing, we give of ourselves to help them. This is spirit of service. Or someone is preparing the meal, and we can help them, or we can set the table, or we can offer to do the dishes. So many opportunities for that spirit of service at home, and especially when there are little babies. So many jobs to be done that we offer to do, even though we are tired, even though we think someone else could do this. Lord, help us to see those needs and to have that spirit of service. And then we can go to our workplace if we work outside the home. And perhaps there was someone there who was new on the job, and they keep coming to us to ask, how do I do this? And we could tell them, go and figure it out for yourself. You should know how to do that by now. But no, we can be that person who helps them, who has the spirit of service, who gives them our time when we are busy ourselves. And they will appreciate that. Lord, help us to see the needs of those around us and to serve. And you said it, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served, to give his life as a ransom for many. And that brings us to another aspect of your love for others, that sacrifice. And you said, no greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friend. We won't have to lay down our life, God willing, but we can put ourselves out. We can give until it hurts, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta often put it. And there will be times when we are exhausted, but we realize we still need to give more. At home, at work, with some other neighbor, that someone needs our attention, and we do it for them. Perhaps the baby is crying in the middle of the night. We're exhausted, and we tell our wife, don't worry, you stay there. I'll go and settle the baby. So many things that we can do in our life where we need to sacrifice. Lord, you sacrificed. You gave your life. But so often, too, when you were tired, you gave long instruction to the people. You gave of yourself. And help us to see those needs of others and to be generous, as you were so generous with us, to learn to sacrifice. This is sanctity. The saint is not the one who does only what comes easy, but the one who put herself or himself out, who went beyond the call of duty, who was generous. Lord, help us to see those needs and to sacrifice ourselves. And then another aspect of your love for us, your compassion, which means literally to suffer with, to see someone who is suffering and to care, but not only to care in our heart, to care with our life, to give them our time, to listen to them. Perhaps again it will be someone in our family who looks sad, who is more silent, who perhaps is sick, and we care. We ask them, are you all right? Is there something wrong? Tell me, what is it? We sit down with them. We listen to them. We give them of our time. And we help them in whatever way we can. Perhaps if it's a family member, a husband or a wife who is sick, we tell them, look, you go to bed. I'll look after the children. I'll get the meal. We show them that we care. And this compassion means that we sit and listen to that child, to that spouse who wants to talk. We don't dismiss it and go on with our own things. And this too, when we are busy or when we're simply tired and want to relax. We turn off the television. We close the newspaper. We sit and listen to them. And if it goes on late in the night because our teenager or our 22-year-old has an issue and they want to talk, we will talk as long as they need. Lord, help us to do this, to have that compassion. You had compassion. You had compassion on the multitudes who were like sheep without a shepherd. And even when it was late at night, you continued to teach them. You had compassion on that widow of Nain when they were taking out her son to bury him, her only son. and you didn't simply pass by and pray for her and wish her well. Because you were God, you could do something more, and you raised him from the dead. You gave that son back to his sorrowful mother. And we see in that woman, Mary, your mother. Because when you died and they buried you, Mary was a widow. There's no mention of Saint Joseph throughout the 3 years of your public life. And then you died, Mary's only son. But you raised yourself from the dead and you gave yourself back to your mother, as you had given that son back to his mother in Naim. You cared. And what compassion for the blind, for the lame, for the sick, for the lepers. You cared and you healed so many of them. Lord, help us to have that compassion, that people realize we are different. We are your disciples. We care. We give them time. We show that we really love them. And then that other aspect of your love, affection. You cried for Lazarus. 4 days in the tomb, you knew you were going to raise him from the dead in just a few moments, but you cried. And the people said, see how much he loved him. And you allowed St. John to lean his head on your breast in the Last Supper. That affection. And your kindness for the young rich man. Jesus looked on him with love, says the gospel. And your affection for children. Suffer the little children to come to me. You put your arm around them. Lord, help us to have affection, to have heart, to have that kindness. When I pray about this aspect of love, I always think of Saint Jose Maria, with whom I had the joy of living closely for 2 years, hundreds of get-togethers with him, several on my own. He was so affectionate, so kind, so loving. Truly the most affectionate person I ever met. So much heart. We loved to be with him. Everyone did. We ran when the bell rang for those get-togethers so as not to miss a word. And Lord, you were like that. That is why all those people flocked to listen to you, to see you. You were that kind person. Mother Teresa of Calcutta sums it up. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. And this was Mother Teresa herself. She would pick up those people from the streets of Calcutta, and she describes them. They smelled. They hadn't had a bath for a long time. They were dying. There were big worms, she says, eating into their living flesh. Maggots. And that was part of the smell, too. And she would pick them up, and with so much kindness, with that smile, with that look in her eyes, show them God's love. And they realized they were loved. This is affection. This is kindness. And we might ask ourselves, Lord, am I a kind person? Or am I simply businesslike? I get the job done. Do people see your kindness in my smile, in my eyes? Help me to be more like you, that I be a kind person. And then you taught us to love our enemies. And you did that. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You didn't condemn anyone. You didn't condemn that woman in adultery. You forgave her. You loved everyone. You loved the Pharisees. You went to eat at the home of Simon the Pharisee. You loved the tax collectors. And you ate in the home of Zacchaeus. You called Matthew the tax collector to be a disciple. You received Nicodemus the Pharisee in that evening conversation. You loved everybody, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Romans who were the occupiers of Palestine at that time, the Canaanite woman, everyone. You taught us, love your enemy. And in the Sermon on the Mount, you say that, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Lord, hopefully we don't have enemies, but there will certainly be people that we don't like. And those people may be in our own family. There may be this son or daughter that we find very trying because of their difficult personality or the troubles that they are going through, and they become really difficult. And then, Lord, give us your love, to love them, to show the same kindness for them that we show to those that we find easy to love. This is the greatest expression of love, as you said. No greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life. And you did that not only on Calvary. You gave of yourself when you were exhausted, but the multitudes were there like sheep without a shepherd. And then you not only taught them, you fed them. You gave of yourself day after day. You got up early in the morning to pray. And then a long day of traveling, of talking constantly. This was exhausting for you. A man for others, you are sometimes described. This is sacrifice. This is self-giving. And when someone is like that, this is remembered. After they die, people say, how generous, how self-sacrificing. Never thought about herself or himself, always thinking of others and giving, giving until it hurts, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta would say. And then another aspect of your love, forgiveness. And Lord, you were mistreated, misjudged, persecuted, and finally put to death. And you forgave everyone. From the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They didn't know you were God. You forgave them. And Lord, help us to forgive. There are people who have hurt us, who have maybe gossiped about us and spread rumors, things that weren't true or things that were true, but that reflected badly on us. And now you ask us to forgive. And when Peter asked you, Lord, how often must I forgive my neighbor? Up to 7 times. You answered, I say not 7, but 77 times, by which you meant always. 7 is the number of plenitude. Always forgive. And you gave us that parable, the servant who was forgiven the 10,000 talents because he pleaded with his master and he was forgiven all that debt. 10,000 talents would be millions of dollars today. And then he went out and he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant 100 denarii, 100 days' wages of an unskilled worker. And then his master punished him. And Lord, we are that second servant. We are that servant, the one who can't forgive our neighbor, when you have forgiven us so much. You have forgiven us the debt of sin. We couldn't possibly make up to you. And you have forgiven us that sin. Help us to forgive those lesser offenses that our neighbor has committed against us, that we not go to our deathbed not having forgiven someone. In that film about San Jose Maria, there's a very beautiful line at the end. When you forgive, you free someone, yourself. We carry that burden of unforgiveness. We can't take that to our grave. We want to forgive everyone, no matter what they have done. What they have done to us is nothing compared with what they did to you, Lord. Lord, how will we learn to love like this? To love as you did? That all men will recognize us as your disciples? The first way is to grow in love for you, because the saints poured out love. Mother Teresa, Saint Jose Maria were filled with love. All the saints were, and they found it easy to love their neighbor. The more we grow in love for you, the more we will be a loving person. And we will grow in love for you through our prayer, what we are doing now, talking with you, listening to you, spending time with you, asking you, help me to grow in love, listening to you when we read the scriptures, when we read spiritual reading. We grow in love for you in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, where you live in us and we live in you, as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum. And through the sacrament of penance, when we go with all of our burden of sin, and you forgive us, and you fill us with your grace, then we find it easier to forgive our fellow man. Through all the sacraments, through prayer, through reading of the scriptures, and spiritual reading, we grow in love for you, and help us to do that. Not only to do those acts of piety, but to engage you, to listen to you, to grow in friendship with you, so that we can be that more loving person. And then another way to grow in love for our neighbor, to see you in each person around us. No matter how repugnant that person may be, as those sick people that Mother Teresa picked up off the streets of Calcutta and nursed until they died, showing God's love, to see you in them. And this is what she did, to see Christ in the poorest of the poor, to see Christ in everyone. Then it is easier to love them, and especially those that we find difficult, that we find trying. Lord, they are you. Because you said it, whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. And we have a chance to live out those corporal works of mercy, starting in our family, where parents feed and give drink and clothe and look after the sick. And then those words of yours, Lord, are applied in the family. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. And when we are reluctant to give, to love, to serve, help us to see you and then to do it for the love of you. And what treasure we store up in heaven when we do that. And sometimes we may say, but what I can do to bring love into this world is so little. Of course it is. We are just one person among billions. But the world will be a little bit better for the love that we show to those around us. Mother Teresa of Calcutta says too, "We ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean. But the ocean would be less because of that missing drop. I tried to give to the poor people for love what the rich people could get for money. No, I wouldn't touch a leper for £1,000, yet I will willingly cure him for the love of God. When we die and it comes time for God to judge us, he will not ask, 'How many good things have you done in your life?' Rather, he will ask, 'How much love did you put into what you did?' Love, Lord, for you. Love for our neighbor. Help us to love others as you have loved us. Then by this, all men will know that we are your disciples." Help us to change. Help us to examine ourselves, to see that we need to love more. And we can. We can all do it with your grace and with your example. Then this world will be a better place for us. And people will remember us. Not that we care about what people think, but people will remember us as someone who knew how to love. And Lord, we go to your mother, Mary, who brought you into the world moved by love for God. To do the will of God, she brought you into the world. She brought you to Elizabeth and John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. What love! When she was carrying a child herself, carrying you, she forgot about herself. She went to help her cousin Elizabeth and spent 3 months helping her. What joy she brought. What service, what sacrifice she made. But she brought your love because she brought you. And then she was with you at Calvary, along with St. John and the other holy women. This is love. This is love with sacrifice, love with deeds. Mary, help us to love as you did. Help us to love one another as Christ did. Then by this, all men will know that we are his disciples. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.